Town got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums, 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker, he a bull-shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Boss just because. And they say you don't tug on
Superman's cape. That's right. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Morning. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN here till 4 a.m. as we are every weeknight morning, weeknight into the morning from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. And that, of course, was Jim Croce. And we got to, we always play some classic Johnny Carson comedy. The Johnny Carson Show is on Antenna TV every night, and you should watch it because it's great. And we always play back some stand-up or some sketches or some interviews that are funny. And tonight we got some classic stand-up from David Brenner, who appeared on the show a million times. And so we've got some classic stand-up from David Brenner, and that's coming up at 2:30. 312-981-7200, that's the phone number. Jim Ryan is a entertainment writer, music writer, critic, all that stuff for Forbes.com, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. He joins us pretty much once a month just to hang out, talk about some of the things he's been writing about. Now, we usually talk about concerts that he's gone to, but that's not happening now, obviously. And we'll talk about what he's been doing, and we'll play a little round of the trivia game Rock of Ages. And here's Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you? How you holding up, buddy?
You know, getting my daily 15 hours of Impractical Jokers. You know, luckily there's enough episodes, so I'm okay.
Yeah. What else you been watching?
That's it. Just that.
Just Impractical Jokers.
15 hours a day on the Impractical Jokers channel.
You're gonna lose. Yeah. You're gonna lose your mind. I'm telling you right now, Jim, you're going to lose your mind.
I'm not watching 15 hours of that.
No, I figured not. No. I figured not.
Okay.
Yeah. That's on. That's on. By the way, that's on in studio, usually towards the end of the show. I think it comes on at 2:30. That's
sounds
when,
about right. So I just assume it's on all times.
Yeah. No. I just look up and I see those idiots, and it's like, oh, it's Impractical Jokers is on at like 2:30 in the morning. It's on one of the screens here in the studio. So. All right, so keeping busy by staying in.
That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what everybody is doing. Did you see any shows before the lockdown?
The last couple shows I saw were the Black Crowes at Lincoln Hall on February 27th, and then Fits in the Tantrums at the Riv on February 28th, and that was it.
Yeah. Now we talked about the Black Crowes.
We did.
Yeah. And you said
quite
they were
good.
You said they were great.
Yeah, that's you know, it makes me bummed. I'm assuming that summer tour is not going to happen now, so I guess, yeah. I'm glad I caught them when I did.
Yeah. I'm bummed out about Def Leppard and Poison.
I'm sure.
And who was the other, cuz I know Joan Jett's in there.
Joan Jett.
Is it
Def Leppard?
Warrant?
Motley Crue.
No, Motley Crue. It's Motley Crue. Okay. So it's the Crew, Def Leppard,
Joan Jett
and who was the other one? Poison.
Poison. Yeah.
Oh man.
The best the 80s have to offer, and sure Vince was going to be in fine form.
Yeah, I'm sure it was going to be great. I mean, it would have been Joan Jett would have been great.
They were double dipping too, because Brett and Vince Neil were doing solo shows while they were in town at the Taste of Joliet, so you're missing that too. I'm not kidding.
So wait a minute. Hold on a second. They go from playing Wrigley to Taste of Joliet.
No one wants to go see Vince Neil solo.
Yeah,
it was just Vince and just Brett.
Yeah. Okay.
Not CC DeVille, no Ricky Rocket.
No, none of those guys.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and we've played some audio of Vince Neil on the air, and looked at some video of the kind of shape he's in right now. It's not good.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah. So well,
he claimed he lost 20 pounds, and he was really getting himself into shape for this.
He lost 20 pounds. He needed to lose about 50. Jeez.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing how bad it could be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, no. It would have been fun. It would have been fun. But
the train wreck element.
Doesn't seem like that's going to be happening. I think a lot of concerts and things like that are not going to be reopened for a while. I think we're going to be on lockdown for a while. At least that's the vibe that we're getting here.
Starting to look that way.
Yeah, yeah. All we got to do, we got to follow the rules, man. Because apparently, you know, it's the curve has dropped a little bit in Chicago.
Okay,
it's dropped. That was in the news, and so everything that we're supposed to be doing, you know, staying in, washing your hands, not going out, only for essentials. You know, that's it.
Yep.
You go out, put on a mask, put on gloves. If you're going to the grocery store or anything like that, follow all those rules because it seems to slowly. Be working. We had a little good news the past couple of days. So
yeah, we'll take that where we can.
Take whatever we can, man.
Exactly.
Take whatever we can. Hey, before we get into the stuff that you wrote about, man, that Prince special, huh?
Oh my God, that was so good.
It was fantastic. It was so good. Let's talk a little bit about that. I watched the whole thing when I got home yesterday morning.
It made me just immediately miss live music because I feel like that special connected with me in a way that none of these streaming concerts that we've been seeing, the big streaming concerts for charity,
yeah,
they just don't connect with me quite the way that power of live music did on that tribute. I mean, there wasn't one dud in that entire lineup. Everything was good.
Everything was good. I don't even know who Miguel is.
And he was great.
He was terrific.
Yeah.
And Maya Rudolph, come on, man. You know, you got to love her. And then, boy, Sheila E. still got it.
So that was my big takeaway. I'm like, Sheila E. stole the show repeatedly.
Yeah.
She was so good.
She was amazing. And, the song selections were awesome. They got some deep cuts in there. They didn't just do the hits, and he's got a million hits. Prince had a million hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
That version that, what's his face from Coldplay, Mr. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my God. I can't stand Chris Martin.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful.
And with Susanna
Hoffs.
They did Manic Monday.
She's
It was fantastic. And
she still sounds fantastic.
She
I was
does.
Like, oh my God, they didn't even have to change the key or anything.
No. It was great. Overall, because I'm a huge Prince fan. Like a huge Prince fan. And I was really stunned and saddened when he passed away. And I thought they did a great job. I thought it was a wonderful tribute to do it, you know, on the anniversary, the fourth anniversary of his death. You know, the timing was good. It was, they did a great job. And everybody, every performance was terrific and every song selection was really, really good. And if you were a Prince fan, you were happy for 2 hours. It was 2 hours of just being happy and listening to great, great songs. So.
St. Vincent ripping the guitar solo, man. On Controversy.
Incredible.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was great. If anybody watched it, you got your Prince fan. What did you think? 312-981-7200. Did you have a favorite performance of the 2 hour evening? 312-981-7200. Tom, did you watch it?
I got a little bit of it. I mean, I don't have cable.
Oh, okay.
So I can't DVR anything. But I was chatting with Jim while it was on, and he was singing its praises. So I turned it on the TV here for a little bit while.
At work.
Yeah, it was great to watch.
Yeah, no, it was great all the way around. And if anybody wants to comment on the Prince, the 2 hour Prince tribute, which I thought was great, and so did Jim. 312-981-7200. Jim, hang on, okay.
Sure.
All right. Jim Ryan is with us. He's an entertainment writer, music writer for Forbes.com, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. He visits with us once a month, and we've got a bunch of stories and stuff that he's written that we're going to talk about, and the phone lines are open, 312-981-7200.
I wonder how the old folks are tonight. Her name was Anne, and I'll be damned if I recall her face. She left me not knowing what to do. Every highway, let me slip away on you. Every highway, you seen better days, the morning after blue.
All right.
From my head down to my shoes.
Morning, Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4. And Jim Ryan, who is an entertainment writer, music writer for Forbes.com, Daily Herald, Chicago Now, joins us once a month to talk about some of the things he's written about and in some of the interviews that he's done. Jim, all right. You've been watching wrestling?
I have, yeah.
It's a little weird, man. I still think it's very strange that there's no. Did you see WrestleMania?
I did see WrestleMania, and I did see the Raw the night after, but I'm a little behind on WWE.
Yeah.
AEW, I'm caught up.
AEW, you're all caught up?
All caught up on that one. And I got to state, like, for whatever reason, I'm enjoying that show without the crowd more than I am Raw. Because it just feels too much like a production when I watch Raw now, where it's lit up, it's totally lit up despite the fact that there's no crowd. AEW, at least, they've got all those guys out there surrounding the ring, so there's at least some noise.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely strange.
It is weird. It's very, very weird. It is weird. And but AEW is doing really well in the ratings.
They've been beating NXT, I think, pretty routinely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. But you know, hey, Chris Jericho rules. So
Chris Jericho's the best.
He's awesome. He's completely awesome.
Have you been enjoying him on commentary?
Yeah, of course.
So have I.
Yeah, he's great.
Great.
Yeah, he's great.
When
I mean,
he makes fun of Tony Schiavone.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's great. But you know, Chris Jericho's always been fantastic on the mic.
Yeah,
always,
absolutely.
And yeah, the first time he showed up on WWF at that time, and had a confrontation with The Rock.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah,
one of the greatest promos of all time. Where he's like, "Do you think I should be
Hooventude?"
Yeah. Do you think The Rock should be impressed because you were down south wrestling some jabroni named Hooventude? And then they cut to Chris Jericho, and he's like, "I took his mask. I took his mask."
Right here in Chicago as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris Jericho is great, but yeah, no, AEW is doing well. It is still, you know, it's interesting to watch, but it's still very strange to have no crowd there, because you know, pro wrestling is really, there's a lot of dependence on that crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I spoke to Jim Ross about that.
Yeah,
because he called that first Dynamite episode with no crowd.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't quite as bizarre an experience as you would think it is. And I forgot, too, he did so much of that WCW stuff where they were filling out a sound stage in the 90s.
Yeah.
When, like, the Saturday night broadcasts were done in Florida.
Yeah.
So he's got some experience doing that, but it's still got to be strange.
Yeah. Now, this is how many times have you interviewed Jim Ross?
Twice.
Twice. Okay.
Yeah, just twice.
Tell me about the latest one.
So he has a book out, Under the Black Hat. And, man, this does not paint a flattering picture of Vince McMahon. The majority of the stories in the book are from his time in WWE, and Vince in particular does not come off well in that book.
I would imagine so. Jim Ross, for people who don't know, is like the premier commentator in professional wrestling. He was with WWF behind the scenes, too, big time.
Talent relations.
Yeah,
head.
Yeah, and he's a great announcer, legendary announcer, he's got a book out, and so Vince doesn't come off very well, huh?
No, he tells a lot of stories. I mean, it's you know, the guy, he just doesn't seem like a good guy. He just uses people up and spits them out, and there was quite a bit of that toward the end of Jim Ross's run with WWE.
Yeah, it doesn't seem. I don't know why I'm not surprised. I mean, you know.
No.
You know, Vince never came off as a kind of a nice guy ever.
No.
And have you been watching Dark Side of the Ring?
You know what? I have YouTube TV, and they don't have Vice.
Oh, they don't have Vice, huh?
Nope. So now I haven't been watching it, but I want to.
It's
I keep hearing how great it is.
It's great. They did Dino Bravo the other morning, or I watched it in the morning, and his death. I mean, the guy was shot 11 times, and he had ties to, like, mobsters and stuff. In Canada, and they did that, and it's really terrific. I mean, if there's any chance of, like, finding it online or anything, especially the episode about the Von Erichs.
Oh God, I can't even imagine. That's such a sad story.
It's unbelievable. But no, they do a great job with it. It's tremendous, and it's if you're a wrestling fan, you know, it's really, really great. And so yeah, the Dino Bravo one was. Pretty. They're all good. They handle it beautifully. And Chris Jericho, by the way, is the narrator.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Jericho's the narrator of all the episodes. So that's get a little Jericho in there too.
So, oh, that's excellent.
So Jim Ross is his new book. What else is it about? What else does it cover? What time period does it cover?
You know, it. So it does the whole WWE up until now. So he gets into AEW a little bit. he has nothing but great things to say about that experience. But what was interesting, he gets into calling some of the XFL games. I'm sure you
Oh, he did. Oh,
interesting,
man.
Stories.
Yeah,
he gets into the XFL. You know, he's called boxing and MMA and college football and all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of stories about that and kind of just how he was influenced as a broadcaster.
Yeah,
and he's got some great stories about other broadcasters in there. So it's another one where you don't have to totally 100% be a wrestling fan to appreciate the book.
Yeah. Well, he's such an entertaining guy anyway. I've interviewed him a couple of times, too, on the show, and he's always been a great interview. It's always fun to talk to Jim Ross. He's got so many stories.
Yeah, it's crazy. Have you ever seen his one-man show?
Yeah, I saw it. He came to the House of Blues. I saw it a few years back.
Nice. I never have, but I bet that's great.
No, it's terrific. It's terrific. Because the guy's, like I said, he's got a million stories, and he's been around. He's done so much. Hey, speaking of XFL, that I guess that's just doomed completely.
It's gone again.
It's funny. Was it Tom? You said God just doesn't want XFL to exist.
Yeah, God has spoken. The XFL is not supposed to exist, and I'm not one to question God.
Yeah. Do you remember the launch back in 2001?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that first game, as I think everybody did. Remember He Hate Me?
Yes.
I think it's unfair that the NFL has a monopoly on the sport of football. That's all I'm going to say. I think that's unfair. Mm-hmm. There should be a rival league. There doesn't need to be just one league, man.
Yeah.
There could be another league.
There could be another league. I just don't think Vince McMahon should be in charge of it.
No, probably not.
That's the thing.
That guy couldn't organize a bun fight in a bakery.
A ton of people watched that first game, the first XFL game back in 2001. I think it was on a Saturday night. It was on a Saturday night, and I remember watching it, and it was terrible. It was just, it was awful. The coverage was bad. The players were terrible. It was bad football all the way around. And then the ratings plummeted so fast. I mean, you know, from like because it was like it was hugely popular, and Vince McMahon was, you know, making statements, the highest rated show in the history of television or whatever. And then the following week, their ratings are in the toilet. And that XFL, that first run of XFL, well, the only run of XFL, since this one never got off the ground, the new one, was disastrous just from week two. And then they had to do a full season. They had to continue a full season with like half empty arenas and no ratings.
Did they finish this one?
No, they didn't even start. It didn't even start. I mean, it didn't even start, you know. So when the coronavirus hit, you know, businesses badly, they didn't want to launch. XFL couldn't launch, so they just canceled it altogether.
Amazing.
XFL was doomed from the beginning.
Poor Vince.
Poor Vince. How long were you able to talk with the great Jim Ross?
We were on the phone for about 35 minutes.
Oh, that's cool.
It was good.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he's
great.
By
the way, speaking of this, did you see speaking of wrestling here? Did you see Jesse Ventura has supposedly apparently thrown his hat into the presidential race?
I saw something online about that. Jesse Ventura.
He supposedly wants to be the Green Party candidate.
So, just President Ventura. I mean, it literally would be Idiocracy.
Hey, man.
It would literally be Idiocracy.
But he's like the best part of Predator.
Well, no, I love him, but I'm just saying, you know, Idiocracy, when it, you know, came out, was like, you know, oh, God, that'll never happen. It's a documentary now.
Like, I'm not sure I can watch it right now.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. I mean, Mike Judge, man, way ahead of it. And he's like, he apologizes for it. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was so right about a lot of the stuff that's going on.
Can you believe that?
I haven't seen that in so long.
It's a great movie. But yeah, you watch it now, you're like, ugh. It's just really kind of like uncomfortable to watch now considering what's going on. What has been going on.
Can you believe that the 1985 action sci-fi thriller Predator gave us not one, but two governors?
Two governors. Yep. Arnold and Jesse.
Oh, my God.
All we need is Carl Weathers to run, and we'll get the three-peat.
You know, it's funny because
I would vote for Carl Weathers.
Apollo, man. It's funny. Ventura's got my favorite line in Predator. which of course is I Ain't Got Time to Bleed.
Oh, it wasn't right. A bit about the sexual being a sexual tyrannosaurus?
No. Yeah. That's okay, but I think I Ain't Got Time to Bleed. That's my favorite line in the whole movie. So, all right, so the book is available now. It's called Under the Black Hat. That's what the Jim Ross book is called?
That is correct, yep.
Okay, and your article is on Forbes.
It is at Forbes.
Okay, Jim Ryan talking with Jim Ross. Two Jims. How about that?
There you go.
Did it get confusing?
It wasn't too bad. You know, we powered through.
Okay. All right. All right. Jim, hang on.
Will do.
Jim Ryan is with us. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk more with Jim about other interviews and articles that he's written. And, again, if you want to jump in about wrestling, what are you thinking about now and Jim Ross and all that? We can take those calls, too, at 312-981-7200. Right. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. And we are here till 4 o'clock. We've got some classic comedy coming up from Johnny Carson. We always play it at 2:30. And about an hour, we'll be playing some David Brenner from classic Johnny Carson show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Jim Ryan is with us. Jim is a music writer, Forbes.com, Daily Herald's Chicago Now, and he joins us usually once a month to talk about stuff that he's written. We got somebody on the line who wants to chime in. Here's Ron on WGN. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Jim. Jim, Rocky Johnson passed away a few months ago, Dwayne Johnson's father, and he had a pretty real good career. I mean, he didn't wrestle too much in Chicago. At least I didn't see him too much on TV, but... he had a pretty hard time with racism, and what do you know about that in his career?
You know, I don't know a ton about Rocky Johnson. I know it's so unfortunate. I mean, I think a lot of those guys from that era did. I've heard Ernie Ladd and the Junkyard Dog both talk about how much of that they experienced in the 70s and 80s. Unfortunately,
yeah, and it was obviously a different time. You know, and things have improved a little bit, but yeah, no, Rocky Johnson had a good career. I mean, you know, Dwayne Johnson is third generation. He's third generation wrestler.
Yeah.
So
Peter Maivia.
Yeah. Peter Maivia is his grandfather, who was a wrestler as well. So he's a third generation guy, but yeah, there's been a lot. I mean, you know, the wrestling business is weird anyway. And full of problems, you know. It's just it's a weird business to get into. But Rocky Johnson, he was a memorable guy, no question about it.
He won the championship. Him and who was it? His partner, I forget his name right now, but they won the WWE. I think
they did. They won champion. The tag. They won the tag belts. Yeah, and I can't remember who his partner was, but yeah.
And from Chicago, out of Benton Harbor, of course, we had Bobo Brazil.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All those guys. They're legendary guys. Yeah. All right, Ron, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Nick. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. Good old Rocky Johnson.
His partner. Tony Atlas was his partner.
Tony Atlas. That's right, Tony Atlas. Those guys, they won the belts. And it was groundbreaking because I believe they were the first African-Americans to win the titles.
Sadly, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that was in the 80s when they won those belts, right?
The first heavyweight champion was Ron Simmons, right?
Yeah,
and
Ron.
That was like the 90s.
Man, are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that was the big deal when he won the title.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure that's the 90s.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because the Rock, when did the Rock win it? Because he won it like in the late 90s, right?
For the first time, yeah, probably like 99, 98, 99, somewhere there.
Yeah. So, and I know that was a big deal for him too.
Yeah, he held the Intercontinental belt first, I think, right?
Yeah, he did. He had the Intercontinental belt first, and then didn't he and Mankind have win the tag belts?
The Rock and Sock Connection.
The Rock and Sock Connection. Yes. you remember the night that they did like a 20-minute "This Is Your Life"?
Yes.
One of the greatest. I mean, that was one of the most entertaining Raws I've ever seen. It was just because both those guys, Mick and The Rock, are unbelievable on the mic, and that whole Rock and Sock Connection was hysterical. But the "This Is Your Life" thing was unbelievably funny, and it was like a 25-minute segment.
Yeah. I've seen Foley tell the story that when they finished that segment, Vince was livid backstage because they went so long over any allotted time. They didn't stick to the script at all. They completely,
yeah.
And then the ratings came in the next day, and it was one of the highest rated segments in the history of Raw.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it was so unbelievably entertaining, and I'm sure it's got to be out there. Tom, have you ever seen that? The "This Is Your Life" that you've not seen it?
I have not seen it.
Oh man, do
awesome.
Yourself a favor. Do yourself. This was 1999 when they did this, and it was Mankind. Well, yeah, Mankind. He was dressed as Mankind. Mankind doing a "This Is Your Life" segment with The Rock, and it was like 25 minutes long, no commercial break. Like, and it just did not end, and it was so funny. And they had complete control of the crowd. Mick Foley and The Rock, they had them wrapped around their little fingers, man. It was just so entertaining. Yeah, Tom, you got it. You got it. You have to try and find it and watch it. I'm telling you. So very entertaining. I remember just sitting in front of the TV, just going, "Whoa, how long is this going to go on? How long are they going to do this?"
I go back and I watch some of these old Rock segments, and they hold up. They're still funny.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of my favorite. I think we've talked about this before. Is when the two cops are investigating who hit Stone Cold with the car, and the car was registered, into The Rock. So the cops come up and start questioning him, and then he starts talking about donuts and stuff with them. That's one of my favorite promos.
Oh,
ever.
I love it.
And if you go back and watch it, next time you go back and you watch some of those, Rock promos from that time period, keep an eye on Cole, because he has a very, very hard time not breaking. Especially during the cop interview. Do you have that?
I've got a little bit of The Rock.
Oh, here's
"This Is Your Life" segment.
Oh yeah, okay. Let's hear a little bit of this.
How you doing, Mrs. Griffith?
It's his ex-teacher.
He does remember.
Do you remember how all year long the only thing The Rock wanted to do in your class was make pancakes? You came to The Rock and you said, "Rock, unfortunately, I'm all out of Aunt Jemima."
Uh-oh.
But that's okay. But The Rock says this: "You should know your role and shut your mouth."
Whoa.
Yeah, and it goes on. That's 25 minutes of that.
Like a little old woman.
Yeah, and he just goes off on her. And like everybody who comes out for the "This Is Your Life" segment, The Rock goes off on them.
Yep.
And I love the little comments that Lawler makes. Ah! Like when he makes those noises, he does remember. Okay. Here's Tyrone on WGN. Hey, Tyrone.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Well, two things here. The last time I called you about wrestling, I still think that was Harry Carey that turned around and waved to the camera.
We're thinking it's not, but that's okay.
Because why would he do that like a bigwig if it wasn't him?
Well, because it's a guy who wants to get on TV, who's in the audience. A lot of people would like to get on TV if they're in the audience. Mm. That's all it is.
Mm. Okay. Now, I heard that of all the wrestlers that there ever were, more old women hated this wrestler more than any other wrestler because they thought he was such a smart aleck.
Yeah.
And I want your opinion about this. And that was Nick Bockwinkel.
I love Nick Bockwinkel. I love Nick Bockwinkel.
Me too.
Love Nick Bockwinkel. He's one of my favorites of all time. And yeah, I can understand. Well, he was a heel, Tyrone, and he did his job well. So, that's why
nobody else did an interview like Nick Bockwinkel.
He was great. He was great. Nick Bockwinkel was unbelievable. He's a legend. So you a fan too, Jim?
Oh, I love Nick Bockwinkle. Yeah, that's I would race home from school to watch the AWA on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Bockwinkle's promos were classic.
No, he cut great promos. He was great. Nick Bockwinkle was he's one of those guys that's he's in the upper echelon of pro wrestlers in every department. He was great in the ring and he was great on the mic. Just terrific.
He had a great feud with Kurt Hennig.
Oh yeah,
in AWA for the title there, probably toward the end for him. But
Kurt Hennig, another great one, another great.
Who can talk? Absolutely.
Oh yeah, man, those guys. All right, Tyrone, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Are you familiar with Nick Bockwinkle, Tom? Because this is way before your time.
I am not, unfortunately. I'll have to.
Yeah,
have to
you got to go back and watch some of these classic. Promos and wrestling matches and stuff like that.
Well, you've got a diet for me, a media diet that I don't know if I can keep up with because I've got friggin' Fever Pitch.
Yeah, you haven't watched
backpack.
Fever. You haven't watched Fever Pitch.
No, yet? I'm saving that for this weekend. I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to bring my cat home.
Yeah,
he's
getting a cat.
Yeah,
lots of people. We were just talking about this, Jim. In the time of this coronavirus and the quarantine, lots of people are going out and getting cats and adopting pets. Like a lot of the shelters are empty, are running out, which is awesome.
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And so. Tom's got himself a cat. And you did a good thing, Tom, getting an 8-year-old cat, not a kitten. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, you got an 8-year-old one. Wow.
Yeah. Because it's one of those, and I know a lot of people who want to support, shelters and things like that. A lot of people will adopt like a cat with one eye.
Yeah.
Or a cat with like three legs. Because nobody's going to, it's immediately, a lot of people go, I don't want to get a cat with three legs. That's too weird.
But I'd love a cat with three legs.
But they're animals, man.
They're just animals.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing wrong with Tigger, other than being a little overweight, he's at 15 pounds. Big lad.
That's a big cat.
Big lad. But he gets cat acne.
Cat acne?
Yeah. He'll get like a zit or something. He really does.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's a thing. Cats can get acne.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so
I never had a cat with acne, but Ruffle, the big fat cat that we had, which you've seen a picture of, and it's the biggest cat I've ever seen in my life. He was my cat for a few years when I lived with Heather. He would get gooey eye. He would have a gooey eye.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to like wipe the goo off of his eye.
Tom, how do you treat the feline acne?
Oh, it's really not that big of a deal.
Oxy-10?
No, I mean we were told that the best thing to do is to just have them eat out of a metal bowl because they find that it's generally the plastic bowls. There's like something in there.
Okay, and, well, that's an easy fix, right? Get a metal bowl, and then make them listen to metal.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if I put on some Sabbath, man.
Put on a little Sabbath. It'll clear up his skin right away. Yeah, so you're going to get your cat. You're going to watch Fever Pitch with your cat?
Yeah, and then, I never actually got to see cats. So,
oh, God.
But
you're going to watch cats?
With a cat.
Oh, man.
But I wonder if that would be considered, like, abusive or something to make a cat
watch
cats. It would
be abusive to you, to yourself.
Yeah, it's unnecessary is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't drink anymore, but I recommend that you do if you're going to watch cats. So, all right. Jim, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Jim Ryan is with us. We got a lot more stuff to talk about, more articles and stuff that he's written about. And if you want to jump in at all, it's 312-981-7200 on WGN. Oh, Todd. I enjoy the Todd Rundgren very much. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up at 2:30, we're going to play some classic comedy from Johnny Carson. The Johnny Carson Show is on Antenna TV every night, and I suggest you watch it. And one of the legends of stand-up, David Brenner. We'll jump into that. We're going to talk about weird museums in America, much more. Jim Ryan is with us. We're also going to play a round of... Rock of Ages. It's a music trivia game that we play. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Jim, how are you?
Good.
All right. Let's see. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I was just wondering, back in the 70s, was Mr. Wrestling number one and number two on the national circuit, or were they like on the Southern Tour type deal?
I don't know.
You remember them?
No.
Oh, they were a tag team, and they wore a black and white mask, you know, the white hood with the black, like, skull on. One of them, number one was the black hood with the black mask, and the number two was black hood, white face, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to get out of the Columbus Auditorium there in Columbus, Georgia, outside of Fort Benning, because it was a buck to get in and dime beers if you had your military ID card with you. So, you know, it was a pretty cheap drunk night. But
yeah,
they did an exhibition on post, and I don't know how our company got detailed to help set up the ring and stuff, but our squad leader, number one, asked our squad leader if he wanted to get in the ring and try a move, and he says no, and he pointed to me because I was the biggest, dumbest one there, and I was, you know, he showed me how they did some of the arm bars, which,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of cool, but then he was going to go, all right, I'm going to throw you into the ring against the ropes. You're going to come back, and you're going to duck, and it's going to look like I hit you in the head, and I'm going to stomp on the floor. Well, I stumbled and was one step off, and he caught me right in the middle of my chest,
yeah,
with a forearm.
Yeah.
You know, knocked me flat on my butt, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't really hurt because I knew what was coming, but it was like, yeah, this is cool. You know, everybody panicked and stuff, you know, and they're all running around there, and it's like, are you all right? Are you all right? Oh, yeah, that's cool. Let's try it one more time, you know? It's like, you know, I'm dumb enough to do it again. But, yeah, in the 70s, there was a bunch of them down there. I think even Ric Flair showed up one time, but he wasn't the one to hang out with the crowds after the after the stuff. So.
Yeah, well, see, yeah. Okay. All right, Rich, thanks.
All right. Yep. Yep.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up in the ring. That's how people get hurt, man.
Yep.
You got to know what's going on. You got to know what the next move is going to be. So, you know what's really interesting now, Jim, watching the wrestling now with no crowd or anything, is you can actually hear the ref telling you how much time you have left for the for the match and say stuff like, wrap it up.
You know, what else has been interesting, too, I caught it during WrestleMania, is some of the guys who are already adapting to this, like the Seth Rollins-Kevin Owens match at WrestleMania. And Seth is talking throughout that whole match, and it was actually really good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And of course,
I mean, guys are figuring it out.
The Boneyard match, which everybody talked about, with AJ Styles and The Undertaker. I think that was one of the matches that everybody was talking about afterwards.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I mean, the last couple of WrestleMania appearances for The Undertaker haven't been five-star matches, but it was nice to see him with a little bit left in the tank. I mean, obviously you get the benefit of being able to edit that, but that was good.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was crazy. And I watched the match and I was like, man, it's really great. And it was physical, and they did a lot of crazy bumps for that match. And who did Edge wrestle? Randy Orton.
Randy Orton,
man,
yeah.
They took a few bumps in that match too. Good lord,
for sure.
Oh my god!
And that's, I mean, with with Edge with that bad neck.
Yeah, yeah. That's always like, for me, it's always like whenever I'm watching a match where a wrestler has come back from a really bad injury, it always kind of freaks me out.
Yeah,
it's always like, man, make a mistake. You know,
Daniel Bryan, any of these guys, yeah.
Absolutely. So when you talk with Jim Ross, did he talk about WWE at all? Because obviously he's working with AEW now, but did he talk about WWE?
We talked about it the first time I interviewed him, because we got into kind of his history calling wrestling in Chicago. He was on the call. One of his favorite matches was WrestleMania 13, which was Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh yeah,
going the double turn.
Yeah,
he talked about that. He talked he went into the Hall of Fame in Detroit, but it was announced in Chicago. It was announced on Raw in Chicago, and he got one of the craziest ovations he said he's ever gotten during that. So we spoke about WWE quite a bit on that first one. Yeah,
you know, it's funny because I've been to several live WWE events, and what people don't know is that the announcers get introduced with entrance music first.
Right.
And whenever Jim Ross would come out, and they would introduce, because obviously when they start a broadcast, they're already sitting at the announce table,
right?
But they got to get there, and so they do announce. So after a couple of dark matches, they introduce the announcers, and Jim Ross gets a massive ovation every single time.
Yeah, people love him. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's just great, and. He didn't slow down even post stroke. After he had the stroke, he would just came back, and it was just as sharp and just as great on the mic as he always was.
Yep, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So is that detailed in his book? Does he talk about that?
He gets into that was one of the issues he had with Vince. Vince didn't want him on camera. He didn't want to show him. He was still suffering the effects from the Bell's palsy. So
sure.
One side of his face was kind of drooping. And he sounded good when he came back, but Vince didn't even want to put him on camera. So it was a big struggle between the two of them.
They had, I'm sure they probably had some, you know, some major fights. Because Vince McMahon, you know, fights with everybody.
Yes. Yes, he does.
You know, do you remember what was the name of that documentary that came out? Not Dark Side of the Ring. That's the TV show, Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat.
Yeah,
Beyond the Mat. I think it's on Netflix right now.
It's a terrific movie. If people have not seen it, it's great. If you're a wrestling fan, you go behind the scenes. One of my favorite scenes is just because Vince just comes off as such a jerk. You know.
Yeah. Shocking.
Oh yeah, yeah, and the documentary about Bret's Hart and the screw job, which is just insane. That's an insane story. But one of the scenes in Beyond the Mat that I found to be like really weird is when they're trying to come up with a gimmick for one of the wrestlers, and he's going to be the guy that pukes. Do you remember that scene where they're in Vince's office and he's like, he's going to puke. And then the wrestler vomits. And I believe that wrestler.
I think literally his name was Puke, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think so. But then that guy ended up being paralyzed because of an injury.
Oh, that was Draws.
Draws. Yeah. That's right, Draws. He ended up being paralyzed. So he was interviewed on the Dark Side of the Ring as well.
What does he say?
Well, it was about, he was interviewed at the week before episode, and he's in a wheelchair, and they're interviewing him about his injury and everything, and talking about working with Vince and what a nightmare it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was D-Lo that hurt him, right?
Yeah, it was D-Lo, and they interviewed D-Lo, you know, about that injury, and he's like, he lives with it every day, you know, but it was a miscalculation, and you know, and the guy ended up getting paralyzed. That's why you got to watch your step, at all times. So listen.
Draws, in one of those storylines, it's always a death knell for tag teams. The third member of the tag team.
Yeah,
he was the third member of Legion of Doom.
Right.
I think shortly before that happened.
Right.
Never a good storyline there.
Never a good storyline.
Demolition.
Yo, no, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Demolition, yeah. Oh, man.
Anytime you got to add that third member, you're probably done.
Yeah. So we're going to talk some more here. You interviewed Bill Wyman, which is awesome, Jim.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Posting that later today.
You'll post it up later today. Mavis Staples.
Yeah,
and amazing. And much more. We've got a bunch of stories that Jim has written. We're also going to play a round of Rock of Ages, which is a fun music trivia game that we play every time Jim is on. And we'll get to all of that. Jim, you hold on, okay?
Will do.
Jim Ryan is with us. Radio Jim Ryan. You can follow him on Twitter. Everything that we're talking about, including all the articles and interviews and things like that, you can find them all archived at Radio Jim Ryan. We'll talk more with Jim Ryan right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're here until 4 o'clock. Jim Ryan is our guest. He is a music writer. And he writes for Forbes.com, Daily Herald, and Chicago Now, and does interviews and all kinds of cool stuff. Jim, hey.
How are you?
So you got a piece that you're gonna post later today.
Yes.
You interviewed Bill Wyman. Tell me what that was like.
Yeah, that's, it was the email. It wasn't over the phone, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But still, he's got a new book out as well. It's called Stones from the Inside, and it is a coffee table book of his photography. Did you know he's a photographer?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's he got his first camera from his uncle when he was like 12, and he kind of shot all through childhood, and he almost kind of basically was the guy chronicling the band, even from its earliest days. Brian Jones was probably his best friend in the band, so there's a lot of Brian Jones in this book. He's kind of every time I've seen him interviewed, he goes out of his way to make sure people aren't forgetting the role of Brian Jones early on in that band.
Yeah,
but it's pretty fascinating, actually. There's some pretty unbelievable photos in this book. And our chat was pretty much 100% about photography.
Yeah, pretty much, huh? Well, you know, for I had no idea he was. Those are pretty amazing photos to take, because you know he's part of the Rolling Stones. You know,
I mean, at one point there's a couple photos in the book that he took during the Rock and Roll Circus filming.
Oh wow!
So it's photos of Lennon and Yoko and Eric Clapton and Marianne Faithfull, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, you get. His whole goal as a photographer is to capture someone in a photo when they're not aware that's happening.
Oh, I see.
So a lot of the photos you see are pretty intimate moments. You know, there's one, he's seated on a couch with Howlin' Wolf in Chicago at Howlin' Wolf's house in July of 1975. There's a photo of Keith Richards brandishing a chainsaw in Mexico.
What?
So these are the types of things you get. And
wow.
Stone from the inside.
That's actually one of the last people on Earth who should brandish a chainsaw.
A chainsaw.
Yeah.
In a foreign country.
Is the book out now?
Yeah, it's now available. It came out a couple weeks ago.
And it's called Stones from the Inside.
Stones from the Inside, yeah. So I'm kind of looking through my notes here. There's a photo he took backstage in 1981 at the L.A. Coliseum. It's him, Bob Dylan, and Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. There's one with him, Brian Setzer, and Jack Nicholson at the L.A. Coliseum.
Yeah. That 81 tour, that was the Tattoo U tour.
He's got a couple backstage at SNL with Dan Aykroyd in October of 78. That was the other thing here, too. So he also journaled extensively throughout his entire career. So these photos are all meticulously cataloged. He's got the exact date that it took place. If it's a photo on a flight, he has it logged where, what flight it was, what day it was. The detail on everything is really amazing.
Wow, that's something. I had no idea that Bill Wyman was a photographer. Did you know until you got this interview?
No, and then this is like his third or fourth anthology, photography anthology. So he's got quite an archive.
Wow.
Like, he takes it real seriously. It's not just
a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. That's really, really cool. I know other celebrities who are into photography as well. And the first one that pops into my mind is Jeff Bridges.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges, you know, he takes photographs on every set that he works on. And he's got two books out, and he uses a very unique camera. I can't remember what it's called. Tom, can you do me a favor and just Google Jeff Bridges camera? Because he's got a very specific old camera that he uses to take these photos. It's
his Vitalux camera.
Vitalux.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the camera that he uses. I've got one of his books. And the photography is really good. It is very, very interesting. And he's another one who's pretty meticulous about it. Takes pictures on every set that he's on.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, all right, Bill.
Yeah. He got his first camera on February 1st, 1959. So,
wow.
That's because he's the oldest. He would have been the oldest guy in the band. He's older than Charlie. He's 83.
He's 83, Bill Wyman?
83. Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. So he's been doing it for a long time.
You'll enjoy this one. There's a photo of Mick Jagger in a hotel room in Toronto in 1979 reading the Bible.
Just taking a little break from the debauchery. Just to catch up with a little gospel.
Keith's relaxing with the chainsaw, Mick with the Bible.
There you go. That's how it works. That's rock and roll right there. So you interviewed another legend, Mavis Staples.
Oh my God, that's if you're feeling a little depressed during everything we're going through right now, I can assure you that a phone call with Mavis Staples will fix all of that in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, I would imagine.
She's the most hopeful person. It's contagious. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, what were some of the things that you chatted with her about?
Well, so she has a new single out called All In It Together, and it's her and Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. And it's left over from her 2017 album that they worked on together. So the song wasn't written for what we're going through right now, but it didn't make the album. And she told the story of every time she turns on the news and hears somebody say, you know, we're all in this together, we're all in this together. She's like, we literally have a song called that. And she got in touch with somebody at Anti Records and they put it out. It's a benefit single. So all the proceeds from it go to a Chicago charity that's making sure seniors have access to essentials during COVID-19. Called My Block, My Hood, My City.
That's
the name of the charity.
The charity, okay.
So what we talked about was the fact that this song is so relevant right now, even though it wasn't, you know, it was written 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And it kind of gets into the whole desire for racial unity as well, which, you know, also a relevant message today. So it's it worked on a lot of levels. But she was telling me stories about marching with Martin Luther King and how that impacts her today as she navigates the world. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. She's unbelievable. That must have been great to talk to her.
We had a conversation about Prince, too, and she was, of course, on that special last night as well.
And she killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, completely.
In Purple Rain.
Yeah. So what did she have to say about Prince?
So he kind of brought her back. So she never stopped recording, but she had kind of gone for a while without releasing solo albums. And he worked with her in the 90s. She's in, she's in Graffiti Bridge. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote and produced two albums for her. This was right as he was starting to have his whole fights with the label.
Right.
And that was one of the things that angered him greatly, was because he felt like they shelved that album during that. But we talked about just the idea that, you know, Prince, everything about Prince and David Bowie, she mentioned too. She brought up George Clinton. But these artists who, if they weren't famous musicians, the way they act and dress and look and speak, they'd be ridiculed, right? But because of the fact that they're famous musicians, they're accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked about that idea that that's something music is always kind of historically, it's a role music has played, that it helps people to accept things that look or sound or act differently, and how important that is today.
Oh, that's great. And that's also in Forbes.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, Radio Jim Ryan, people can just follow you, and that's all the stuff that we're talking about is there.
Yep, all on Twitter.
Okay. All right, let's talk about Stone Brewing.
Okay.
You talk with Greg Koch?
Greg Cook, yeah. He's an interesting character.
Okay, hold on. Jim, hang on. We got to take a break.
Sure.
Okay. We have to break right here on 720 WGM. We'll talk more with Jim, and we're also going to play a round of Rock of Ages. And we also got some comedy from David Brenner, classic Johnny Carson.
Robin Baumgartner.
More evacuations were ordered.
She's real.
Thank you.
She's Chicago.
I'm here to speak up for the ladies.
And she's what makes watching news in the morning better.
What am I, your show pony?
Watch Robin and the rest of the WGN-TV morning news team, weekdays 4 to 10.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio. Jim Ryan is my guest. He is a music writer for Forbes.com, Daily Herald, Chicago Now, and we're chatting about some of the stuff that he's written about. We're going to play a round of Rock of Ages trivia in a little bit. So before the break, I was asking you about Stone Brewing's Greg Koch.
Yeah, he's at the center of a documentary that just hit Amazon Prime called The Beer Jesus from America.
Okay.
And it traces Stone Brewing's attempts to expand to the Berlin market. They started in 96, and they were kind of at the forefront of the whole craft brewing thing before it was, you know, quite what it is now.
Yeah.
So they were trying to expand to Germany, and it was, without spoiling the ending, it's quite a trip trying to get that building open. So he's kind of the rebellious protagonist at the heart of that film. Mm. And it's good. Yeah, and it's on Amazon Prime. But so yeah, we spoke about his role in the film and you know, the role of beer during COVID-19.
The role of beer.
Getting you know, some people, for whether it's to cope or escape or, you know, whatever the case may be.
There was a news report on one of our news reports earlier that liquor sales are up 40%.
That's insane.
40%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, people are home drinking.
Yep.
Do you think that counted in that 93-year-old who got a bunch of free beer from the
40 cases did she get?
I thought it was like 10 cases.
Yeah, 10 cases. 10 cases of Coors Light. Did you hear about this story, Jim?
I didn't see this one. No, how did this happen?
It's a 93-year-old woman wasn't going outside, but she was standing at her door behind the glass, and she held up a can of Coors Light and said, "I need beer." And it got okay. it was posted all over the internet. 93-year-old woman wants her Coors Light. So Coors Light sent her 10 cases. They put it on her front porch and left it there for her. And so now
that's awesome.
Now she's going through 10 cases of Coors Light. So she should be okay during this.
should get her through a day or two.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a lot of it. Well, yeah. I mean, what was Greg's take on beer during COVID-19?
You know, he said it's he said ideally it's part of a well balanced life handled in moderation.
Yeah,
but it was interesting to talk to him about the fact that they've got a number of safety protocols in place as far as delivering it. They're still brewing, they're still transporting it to the grocery stores and whatnot, and so they had introduced all kinds of safety protocols to make sure that process is as safe as it can be for the people still working in the factories, for the people who are transporting it, and kind of all these things you don't think about when you're picking up a six pack at the store.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what it entails to get it there and all that stuff.
Yeah. And to do it safely in the brewery, to make it, you know, when you're trying to observe social distancing and all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've actually, you know, like during this whole thing, it's brought to light a lot of things that I think we've never even thought about before. That's one of the things that's been happening over the past few weeks, is that, wait a minute, I never even thought about that before, that reality, that situation, that what needs to be done in order to get things done. It's been enlightening.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a lot of that in this particular conversation. He's an interesting guy. It was good.
Okay. And you guys talk about music at all?
We did get into music. Stone has partnered with a lot of bands. The one, most notably, they partner with Metallica. They do the Inner Night Pilsner. They do all of Metallica's beers is Stone Brewing.
Is that right?
And Greg used to be a musician, so he kind of, one of the big things that was kind of at the center of the article was just as far as a creative process that, you know, he considers craft beer just as much of like an art project as somebody making a seminal album.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Rush. We talked about Metallica. It was he owns a rehearsal facility too, the largest rehearsal facility in the world in Los Angeles. So he still kind of has his foot in the music world.
Wow.
It was interesting, yeah.
Yeah. You talked about Rush?
We talked about 2112, yeah. In terms of, that was Rush's third album in 1976, and it was the one that broke through.
Yeah.
But at the height of disco, they're doubling down on prog rock with 20-minute tracks, right? Not you know, huge albums before
right,
that.
Right, right.
So it was kind of that idea of, you know, him in 1996 trying to tell people you can raise your expectations for beer. It doesn't have to be, you know, these two or three mass-produced lagers, and kind of pushing people in that direction, kind of helped them figure out what they were going to like.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of how we threw out the Rush 21-12 comparison, that sometimes you, when you do that and you're operating kind of pushing people, you know, when it's a creative endeavor and, well, I'm not explaining this well, when it's a creative endeavor and you're staying true to your intents,
yeah,
sometimes that's more beneficial than just putting something out for the sake of doing it because it's going to sell.
Yeah, I remember when 21-12 came out, and I don't think anybody was doing that kind of stuff except for maybe Yes at the time, you know, doing like whole album sides or like really long songs. I think Yes was doing that already, but they clearly didn't sell as many records as Rush did with 21-12.
Are you a fan of Rush then?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Because they're always one of those polarizing ones.
No, they are.
Love them or hate them.
No, I know that they are a polarizing band. And Tom, you're a big fan of Rush, right?
Immense,
yeah.
Immense fan. The sad part is I only got to see them once.
Yeah.
You know, as
yeah,
the holy triumvirate. But transcendent.
I got to see them a couple of times. I saw them on the Moving Pictures tour back in
81. Awesome.
And that's when a guy threw up on my leg. I was standing on the chair. This was at the Rosemont Horizon. I was standing on my chair as everybody was, you know, standing. People stand up or stand on their chairs at concerts and stuff. So we were all standing on our chair, and all of a sudden I feel something hit my leg, and I turn around, a guy vomited on my leg, and I had to go to the. I missed like two songs because I had to go to the bathroom and stick my leg in the sink and wash my shoe. So you know, I had like a wet shoe, wet sock, all that stuff, and it was February. And I remember walking back to the car to the parking lot, and my leg was frozen.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's what that's the one thing. That's my one takeaway from the Moving Pictures tour, except that they were
vomiting on in a Rush concert.
Yeah, vomiting on in a Rush concert. Well, that doesn't sound too far fetched, I don't think. So,
I don't think I've ever been vomited out of a concert.
No?
The beer spills. I get the
beer spills
all
yeah,
the time.
I think beer spills are a common occurrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, common occurrence. So, all right, Jim, what have you been working on? Besides that, because you got the Bill Wyman piece coming up. What else? What's in the future? Because I know you're not going to shows now. You're not going to concerts.
Yeah, I know. That's killing me, too.
Yeah.
Chris Franz from Talking Heads has a new book out.
Oh, cool.
So I'm working on that. I haven't gotten them yet, but I have the book. It was supposed to come out this month, and as many things have.
It's delayed.
Been,
yeah, it's probably delayed.
Yeah, it's
we
been pushed back.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak, I think, with the lead singer of Better Than Ezra. He did four Facebook concerts that raised $125,000 for charity, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good story. Tori Amos has a book coming out. I'm trying to get her.
Yeah.
No one else do we have? I was trying to get Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer?
He's got a book out.
He's got a book coming out. Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Val Kilmer is about dealing with his battle with cancer. One of the things that it's about is about he had throat cancer, if I remember.
Yeah. Did he already have a book out, or is this his first book?
I think this is his first book.
I'm not sure.
Is it called Your Huckleberry?
So.
I'm Your Huckleberry. Yeah,
yeah, okay, then this is, yeah, I saw an advert for it. I was interested.
Yeah. I'm Your Huckleberry, obviously, a reference to his classic line in Tombstone.
Right.
Yeah. Tombstone is...
And then Jimmy Webb.
Jimmy Webb. Have you ever interviewed him before?
I have not. No, I'm excited.
One of the greatest.
He's been doing streaming concerts.
Yeah, that's the thing. What are your feelings on that? On the concerts that everybody's doing from their living room and stuff?
You know, this is kind of what I was getting at with the Prince thing earlier. Like, that live crowd, kind of their reaction and driving it is a far more interesting thing to me to watch than somebody in their living room.
Yeah.
I understand the intent of it, but it's not scratching that itch for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Well,
certainly is a place for it.
Yeah, no, there's a place for it. And a lot of people want to hear music now. You know, we need to hear music now. It's an escape, you know?
That's what's really interesting to me, because there's been three or four interviews I've done where it's done, and then the album release gets pushed back, so I have it kind of sitting in limbo and I'm not using it. But it's amazing to me that an artist wouldn't want to put the album out right now.
Yeah,
I would think this is the time you would actually want it out. Like, people might actually sit down and absorb it in full.
Yeah, and on top of that, you don't have to leave to get it. You can buy it
right.
And download it. You don't have to go outside to buy, you know, music anymore. It's all on your computer, so you can be safely inside and buy new music.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, all right, Jim, hold on. We're going to play some comedy, and then we come back after the comedy. We'll probably have some comedy while we're playing Rock of Ages. Jim Ryan is with us, Radio Jim Ryan, at Radio Jim Ryan. You can follow him there. He's got a whole bunch of really cool stuff coming up. And everything that we talked about is available at Radio Jim Ryan. Okay, we're going to break here. And when we come back, it's time for our nightly comedy, which is from the classic Johnny Carson show. And we'll hear some David Brenner this morning.
It's the same kind of story that seems to come down.
Hey, Impractical Jokers is on.
Turn it off.
Idiots. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio. We're going to talk about some of the weirdest museums in America a little bit later on. Jim Ryan is hanging out, and we're going to come back and play a little round of Rock of Ages, which is a music trivia game that we always play when Jim is on. We'll have some fun with that. But every morning right around this time, we play some classic comedy from the Johnny Carson Show. You can watch the Johnny Carson Show every night on Antenna TV, and we like to give you a little piece of comedy, whether it be a sketch or a bit or an interview or some stand-up. And in this case, a legendary stand-up comedian we're going to hear from. Do we know what year this is? Do we have a year? No. Okay. But it's legendary stuff from the classic Carson, and this is David Brenner.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I came out here purposely to do the show. I flew out today, and California is an interesting place. One thing I don't like about California, not California, Los Angeles, a little trendy. It's a little trendy. I don't know if you notice this. Whatever's happening, they pick up on it and they do it, you know. Like the latest thing around the country, you know, is Western bars. That's the big thing. So I heard Los Angeles open up a gay Western bar. You know, with a mechanical sheep and all that. I'm glad to see the, I came in, I was worried because of the smog that's been around, but the smog lifted today, I guess you know that. And four balls came down at Dodger Stadium. Now the Yankees are saying, we won. I went to that last game, that was a shame. I'm a big baseball fan. It's changed now, baseball, though. Baseball players are jumping in the stands, beating up fans. If you go to a baseball game, you gotta wear a cup. I like football fans, boxing fans, they're fans. I went to my first tennis match. I gotta tell you something, I've never been to one. Did you ever see the fans at a tennis match? They sit there, they go, ooh, ooh. I'm waiting for, you know, your mother sucks balloons, you know? Of course, coming from Philadelphia, not only do they yell, but they have pictures to prove it. I think the funniest fans of all have to be golf fans. I mean, that's a great sport. The guy hits the ball, and then all the fans follow him. Can you see that? Like in baseball, a guy gets a hit. Okay, everyone, first base, come on. One sport I don't care for is dog racing. Not that I have been such a, you know, great thing for dogs. I mean, you can imagine coming from New York, I'm not the greatest dog fan. I mean, the poopy scooper isn't working, okay? I mean, you know, New York dogs, they're giants. I mean, I've seen guys put down flares at directing traffic around. Big dogs, okay. I don't think little dogs should be allowed in metropolitan areas. These little dogs, you ever see these little dogs? It's a horrible feeling when you're running for a bus and a woman screaming hysterically, look down, there's a leash hanging out from under your shoe. Well, what the hell was it, lady? I'll buy you a new mouse. What are you... I have a dog. I have a little puppy. I bought a dog a few months ago, paper training him. It's fun to paper train a dog. No, it is. You learn a lot of interesting things, like President Reagan looks good in a small mustache. Problem with dog lovers is that people who own dogs, they give dogs attributes they don't have. You ever hear people with their dogs? about their great senses. Like, my dog can hear. You should see the way he hears. I walk in a building 12 stories down. He knows it's me. He hears me. Right? He could smell me getting off a bus. He gets all excited when I get off a bus. Let me tell you, dogs aren't that way, okay? If you have a dog, and dogs have the worst eyesight in the world. The worst of any animal. I can never figure out how come a dog always confuses my leg for his girlfriend. I love you. Don't love me. It's pants. You don't love me. And you ever have that happen? Dog owners always say the same thing. Isn't it cute? What's so cute? Suppose your nephew did this. Is it cute? Come on, what's cute? You're sitting, you got wet pants, the dog's in a corner smoking a cigarette. What's so cute? Cute. Those animals are great. I'm nothing against animals. Did you hear on the news about animals? This is great. This is unbelievable. Federal government, you know what they're going through now with as Johnny was telling, everybody's leaving and everything. All right. Federal government came out with a beauty. You know, there have been 7 cases of bubonic plague in the United States. And this is a disease they thought left hundreds of years ago. So what does the federal government do to help us out? Did you hear this? They have issued a warning for all of us. Do not handle dead animals. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, after I finish dinner, I like to take a walk over to the highway, pick up a raccoon, whip it around a little bit. Another thing great on the news, did you see, and we should have been the first to do this. Did you see what France has? A train that does 236 miles an hour. Boom! And now you can tell the hobos in France, they're the guys without arms. France is always first, right? France has got it. They were the first ones at nude beaches. Did you ever go to a nude beach? I just tried nude beach. That's fun. Yeah, but you got worries. Things I thought about before I got there, like where do you keep your change? And more importantly, who would accept it? But there's a lot to do. I was surprised how much there is to do on a nude beach. A lot. You know, the usual things. You go swimming, play frisbee, and then you can do other things like try to guess the sex of fat people. I gotta watch my weight now. For the first time in my life, yes, I gave up smoking cigarettes. And you gain, you can't believe the appetite. Oh. And you try to be cool in a restaurant. You sit there, I'll have a little cup of soup and a side of salad and a side of beef. But I'll never stop people from smoking because I hate it when anyone told me not to smoke. Except once, one time. This is great. This is the best line I think anyone ever hit me with. I was in a drugstore in New York and I bought cigarettes. I bought a pack of cigarettes and then I thought, I'll look around. You know how drugstores look around. So I lit up a cigarette. I'm walking around seeing what else I could buy, you know what I need. And a druggist told me to say, he says, put out the cigarette. You're not allowed to smoke in here. I said, hey, if you're not allowed to smoke in here, why do you sell cigarettes? He said, if you bought X-Lax, would you poo-poo on my floor?
David Brenner. He's up there. We talked about what guests had the most appearances, and he's pretty high on the list. And he also guest hosted quite a lot when Johnny was off. Legendary. I got to interview him. I had him on the show one time. Got to see him at Zany's. And it was great. I mean, it's David Brenner. So... all right, that's what we do every morning at 2:30 on the show. We like to play some classic comedy from the great Johnny Carson and his show. All right, why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll jump back in it with Jim Ryan and start our game of Rock of Ages, the music trivia game that we always play when Jim is on with us, and that's it's coming up. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio, here till 4 o'clock. We go over to the TV side over at Bradley Place, and get some TV early morning news from them. And then the great Bob Surratt has your morning drive at 5. We are here 24/7. Keeping you informed, keeping you company, and helping you get through this, and we will all get through this together. Whatever you need, you can check us out at on WGN at WGNradio.com as well, 24/7. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Jim Ryan joins us usually once a month to talk all the things that he's been writing about and music and all kinds of cool stuff. And Jim, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Are we ready to play a little Rock of Ages?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I will read questions to you, to Jim, and Tom will read questions to me. And then whoever has the most points wins a Buick.
All right.
Okay. Okay. So we have different categories. This is a Rock of Ages, and they have different categories. So the first category, and this is for you, Jim. Are you ready?
Yes.
50s and 60s. Give the first and last names of at least three of the Monkees.
First and last names?
First and last names of at least three of the Monkees.
Mickey Dolenz, Peter Tork, Michael Nesmith.
Yeah, that's correct.
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones, yes.
Yeah, you got to name Davy Jones.
Yeah.
He's the best one.
I don't know about that.
The shortest one.
I'm a Nesmith guy.
That's only because his mom invented liquid paper.
No, it's only because he's, like, great. So, all right, you got one there, Jim. Nice way to start. All right, Tom.
All right, 50s and 60s. What 1968 movie contains these three soundtrack titles? The Coven, Expectancy Part 1, and 3, What Have You Done With Its Eyes?
That would be Rosemary's Baby.
That would be correct.
Yes. Yes.
A little bit of a gimme, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, the last one.
Yeah, it's the quote. You know,
I got it from the first one, though.
Really?
Yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. It also helps that I know that that movie came out in 1968. You know what I mean?
There's a million things.
Yeah. All right, we're tied at one, Jim, man. This is going to be a tight game. All right, 70s and 80s. You ready?
Yes.
Why did people sometimes think musician Glenn Frey was a pro football player?
Wow. I have no idea. Why did they think that?
Well, when asked what he did for a living, Glenn would truthfully say that he was with the Eagles.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Did this game take an opportunity to just tell a joke?
I don't know. So he said that he was with the Eagles. So the people were like, oh, you play football. Yeah. Okay. That was a dumb question. All right. Tom?
All right, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
What 1970 tearjerker contains these three soundtrack titles? One, Snow Frolic, Search for Jenny, and Skating in Central Park.
Love Story.
Bingo.
Yeah.
These are just lobs.
Yeah, people don't, if you weren't around when that movie was out, was that thing a monster? It's a terrible movie. But it was huge. I remember my parents waited in line to see it. Back in the days when you would wait in line. Back in the days when actually you would go to movies. Hey, by the way, the McHenry County drive-in is opening in May. So you can actually you can go see movies. And they're going to do some classic movie series. The first one that they're doing the prehistoric double feature is what they're calling it. It's the Flintstones and Jurassic Park. So people can... And they have some guidelines. They have some rules on the web page about the snack shop is going to be closed, but they will deliver if you want some snacks. They have a scooter and they're going to deliver to your car. You can't watch the movie outside, so you can't bring like lawn chairs or anything like that. You got to stay in your car. And there are other rules too, but I think that's awesome. I bet they're packed. I bet they're going to be packed.
Yeah, but totally.
Yeah. So, and it's, I mean, even they're showing Flintstones, which is a terrible movie. I don't like either of those movies, but the experience is going to be fun.
Either of the Flintstones movies or either that?
Either of the double feature.
You don't like Jurassic Park?
No, I've told you this.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I don't like Jurassic Park, and my favorite one was the last one.
God, it's, you know.
My favorite Jurassic Park movie was the last, whatever the hell it was, Lost World 9 or whatever it was.
I was going to say, Flintstones and Viva Rock Vegas, nobody likes, but.
No. But wow. Viva Rock Vegas is horrendous. I mean, the first one's not very good, but the Viva Rock Vegas. I remember when John Goodman hosted Saturday Night Live, the weekend that movie came out. And this was like the 12th time. John Goodman's hosted Saturday Night Live like 18 times. And so he was, and they, he's doing his monologue, and they cut back to a couple of the cast members who are watching on monitor, and they're like, man, he's loaded. You know, he's drunk. And then it's like, he goes backstage. He's like, are you all right? He's like, yeah, just the new movie I'm in is just that Viva Rock Vegas. It just sucks. And they go, you're not in it. And he goes, oh, okay, good.
Wow.
Yeah. Goodman. All right. Are you ready, Jim?
I am.
2-1. I'm ahead. 90s and 2000s.
All right.
Oh, come on, man. With this.
Yeah, after the last one, I'm due for one here.
All right. Alien Ant Farm, had a hit with in 2001 with a cover of what Michael Jackson song?
Smooth Criminal.
Yes, Smooth Criminal, of course.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Bad.
No. You've never heard the Alien Ant Farm?
No, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I hate that
cover.
Shut up.
Oh, I love it.
Great cover.
I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hate it.
I love it.
Didn't even know it was a cover for the longest time.
What?
I didn't grow up in a Michael Jackson household. Sue me.
Wow.
I just thought that was it's like, wow, this is really hardcore, man. This is like metal or something.
It's Michael Jackson, man.
As I later learned.
Had you never seen the video where he's like, the video is amazing.
It is.
Yeah, it is a good video.
I mean, now.
All right.
Remember, 2001, I was like seven.
Oh, good
seven,
Lord.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. What's next?
All right. Next, 90s, 2000s. What 1991 movie contains these three soundtrack titles? The Motorcade, Garrison's Obsession, and The Death of David Ferry.
Come on, man. It's JFK.
Yeah.
Well.
I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't. These
were brain busters.
These were randomly drawn, okay?
Hermetically sealed.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's Beatles or Elvis. Beatles or Elvis. Fill in this Elvis hit. I forgot to remember to blank.
God, I don't know. I never know Elvis.
I forgot to remember to blank.
Forget.
That's right.
All right.
Nice job, man.
The title of the song is I Forgot to Remember to Forget.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
It's a great song, too. All right, we're tied at 3. Last question on this card, correct?
Yep, last question here.
Here we go.
Beatles and Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Beatle was once referred to as Little Richard for several years?
Ringo Starr?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know why?
Because his name is Richard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's literally it. Yeah. It's really that dumb.
Yeah, his name is Richard. His God-given name was not Ringo.
Should have been.
All right, 4-3, I'm ahead. We're going to go on to the second round. Are you ready, Jim?
Let's do it.
50s and 60s. Ty Cobb died. Ham the Chimp was sent to space. Six Flags Over Texas opened. The Lion Sleeps Tonight was number one. Name the year within one.
68.
Oh, 61. Mm. 61. Okay.
All right. 50s and 60s, Nick. Yeah. Which girl next door had early hits with Tall Paul, First Name, Initial, and Pineapple Princess?
How did they describe her?
Girl Next Door. Which girl next door had early hits with Tall Paul, First Name, Initial, and Pineapple Princess?
Sandra D?
Mm-mm. Annette Funicello.
Oh, Annette Funicello. Okay. All right. Missed that one. All right. 70s, 80s. Gloria Swanson died. Tokyo Disneyland opened. Return of the Jedi debuted. And Islands in the Stream was number one. Named the year within one.
83?
That's exactly right. Jedi gave it away.
Yeah, Jedi totally gives it away.
Yeah, Jedi gave it away. All right, man, we're tied at 4. This is a tight race, man. The suspense is ridiculous. It's like we're in a Brian De Palma movie.
Is this the last 20 minutes of Obsession?
Oh, that's a great movie. Great movie. Okay.
All right, 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
What Edgar Winter Group instrumental derived its title from the fact that it was patchworked together from many different tanks?
Frankenstein.
I believe it's pronounced Frankenstein.
Yeah, okay.
That is correct.
Okay, Gene Wilder. All right. Yeah, that's a great song. All right, Jim?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
90s, 2000. Chick Hearn died. The last Toyota Supra was made. My Big Fat Greek Wedding debuted, and Lose Yourself was number one. Name the exact year.
Lose Yourself. Eminem. 05.
2002.
Ugh, all right.
Yep, 2002. Okay. All right. What do we got now happening here now?
All right. 90s, 2000s.
Yeah, man.
What LA-based rockers released simultaneous albums in 1991 that charted at number one and number two, an unprecedented feat?
GNR.
Could you give me that one? Come on.
Well, and what were the albums? Do you know?
Use Your Illusions 1 and 2.
Correctamundo.
Yeah. One in a Million is on one of those, and I love that song. I love that song.
Well.
I love that song.
That's on Lies.
That's on GNR Lies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That's why I always screw that up. Okay, here you go. Last question. And you can't win.
No.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Beatles or Elvis? Between Bob Dylan, Dion, and Donovan, which one did not appear on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? So it's either Bob Dylan, Dion, and Donovan. Which one did not appear?
Dylan.
Nope. Donovan.
Dion? No. Yeah.
Donovan. All right.
All right.
Well, I'll still try and answer this, even though I got the win.
Be fun. Well, because this is easy as pie. This is one of the easiest questions. Elvis and Priscilla wed on May 1st, 1967. What event occurred exactly 9 months later on February 1st, 1968?
That would be the birth of Lisa Marie.
Bingo.
Yeah. All right. I got a Buick.
Congratulations.
I don't have a license, but I've got a Buick.
Just standard Buick, no extra features? Maybe a tape deck?
Yeah, an 8-track.
It's got an 8-track.
It's got an 8-track player in it. So there you go. Jim, man, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks for hanging out with us on this morning.
My pleasure.
Stay in, stay safe, and we look forward to all the new stuff that you're doing, the interviews that are coming up. We'll look forward to. And again, this is if they follow you at Radio Jim Ryan, right?
You got it.
Okay, at Radio Jim Ryan. Okay, cool. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you next month. And that's our buddy Jim Ryan. Okay. After the news, we're going to talk about the weirdest museums in America. And let's open up the phone lines. What are some of the weirdest places you've gone to? We were talking about weird things that happened in Chicago at the top of the show, so we're going to get weird again. I've got an article here about the weirdest museums in America, and where are some of the weirdest places that you've gone to? Have you ever gone to any weird museums? Call us up. We would love to talk to you. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for the weirdest museums in America. We're here till 4 o'clock, and then at 4 o'clock we go over to Bradley Place. And check in with the news team over there on the TV side, get some news from them, and then at 5 o'clock we've got Bob Surratt for your morning drive. And again, we're here 24/7 to keep you informed, to keep you company, and to get you through this. And we will get through this all together. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you've ever been to a weird place, what's some of the weirdest places you've ever been to? Have you ever been to weird museums? And we will get to that right after this.